On this episode of The Fledged Show, number 62, it's a my response to this is all about my response to Steve Webb on his Life Spring podcast, and I wanted to put my full response on here. So for anybody listening, this is what I actually said in those 6 minutes. Thank you. Bye. Oh, this and more on with the show. The Fledged Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Fledged Show. Well, I don't have any tab today because I've had too much caffeine already. So if I have caffeine, I'll be bouncing off the walls. Anyway, welcome to the Fledged Show. This is Kenty, and Jose is eating his dinner. This is late, and I'm going to have to get dinner cooking soon. I have to start cooking dinner soon for John and I. So anyway, welcome to the Fledged Show. You can reach me at kenty@thefledgedshow.com. And also reach me at 206-339-JOSE. And let's see, this has been a busy weekend. I had a big interview with Rebecca Ney of Training Wreck Radio. Wait, can't wait to hear that for next week. I bet you guys can't wait. And I had, well, this show is going to be in response to audio I had sent in to Steve Webb on the LifeSpring podcast. So it probably is not the most well-rounded show I put out, but I have a few things to say, so I want to do that, and I just want to get started. So it's going to be a short show this week. And first, though, is a voice comment from John.
Hi, Kenty. I just finished listening to episode 60 of The Fledged Show. I'm at work, working in I was listening to it with my headphones. Aaron, I just wanted to congratulate you on the show. I think it's a really good episode. I particularly like the very, very practical and nicely imagined analysis of why all those animals could not possibly have fit on the ark and how they could not have gotten along. It makes perfect sense. And I think it's refreshing to listen to someone talk about biblical content in a critical way, or who reads the Bible critically. Also, you were talking about, actually this was sort of a continuation of the same thing, and as I was listening to this stuff, I thought, why wouldn't people bring their whatever intelligence they have to bear in evaluating what they read in the Bible? Why wouldn't they do that? Which makes me think that maybe makes me want to take the extra step and say that maybe born-again Christians and fundamentalists, I guess particularly fundamentalists, are stupid. Maybe that's the next step that we need to take. And yes, you can use this message on your show, even though people might accuse you of nepotism. Bye.
Well, thank you, John, for that voice comment. It's always appreciated to have voice comments from my show. And I do read the Bible critically. When I read the Bible, when I read anything, I read it critically. And I think I talked about that in one of my shows, is that if I'm looking at it, I look at it literally instead of trying to figure out what it's supposed to be, like these, you know, ideas of symbols, like the snake in the Garden of Eden is supposed to be Satan or whatever. It doesn't really say that in the Bible, so I think it's important to read it as it is and then understand it from there. Whether it is literally true, that's another question. And as for the Noah's Ark, I mean, it does, I did bring up some good points. I mean, the number of animals, including the dinosaurs, I'm not sure if they could fit all that boat, but of course, I really don't know how many animals were on the earth at that time. Right? And we know that birds and animals have become extinct, right? So if the same number of animals on Earth existed now as they existed then, there were actually more animals available to to be put onto the ark than now. Unless they evolved. But I don't think that's that could have happened under the fundamentalist viewpoint. So who knows? I think Noah's Ark brings up some good points. I mean, and that's not a matter to break your faith either. You know, to break my listeners' faith if they believe that they can do it. You know, it's their prerogative. There must be a reason why people believe in that worldview. It must give them some sort of comfort, you know. So, all the better to them. So, thank you, John. And on with the show.
Let the darkest hour come just before the dawn. Soon the melancholy hum of nighttime will be gone. Shadows creeping round the world, leaving doubt and fear. Daylight soon will be unfurled. Look, the morning's here. Wake with the buttercup. Come on, get up, here comes the sun. Open your sleepy eyes, look at the flaming skies, here comes the sun. Turn your back on the light, morning's cheerful and bright, not a shadow in your way. This day is your day. Wake with the singing birds, shout out those lucky words, here comes the sun. Lovers are hand in hand, this is the promised land. Daydreams are spun. Laugh, your sorrow is over, and half the battle is won. Life's no gloomy race, light your happy face, here comes the sun.
Hi, Steve. This is Ken from The Flatus Show, and I wanted to respond to your episode 104. I've been listening to your show, I don't know, for the past few weeks. I'd originally heard about Life Spring on Madge Weinstein's Yeast Radio. I really forget the exact context. So I thought I'd take a listen and figure out myself if, you know, what you're like and what your show is like. Well, I think you're nice. You seem like a nice guy. I mean, you don't seem like a asshole. you have a very clear position in your belief about what Christianity is. Now, I am gay. My partner and I have been together for 10 years. We have a family. I mean, it's us two. Plus, we're involved with our families and host Thanksgivings and are part of our families together and neighborhood and involved. I don't have a problem with being gay, and I don't think God does either, though I'm sure you have another view on that, and I know you do, and that's fine. But I know from personal experience that God has blessed me with being gay, and I have to assume he made me this way. Now, I feel also that I'm being a gay man, being misrepresented by the media and what people think of as gay. I mean, your caller, Kevin, he seemed like he had some real problems, and I'm sure it was more than just his homosexuality. He had drug problems, and in the gay community, there is a lot of, I don't know what the right word is, temptation, maybe, to get involved with bar culture and drugs and a lot of sex and whatever. I have never abused myself that way. I've never slept around. I never hung out at bars. Never took drugs. You know, and that's it. I met my partner and we dated and we decided to get together. I don't abuse. I don't abuse my body. Your listener Kevin sounds like he had some issues with drug addiction. And maybe sex addiction. You know, you had mentioned, it was interesting, you said something to the effect of that if you hadn't married your wife, that you'd probably sleep around a lot or be, you know, very active sexually with women. Which I never really understood that kind of behavior. I always thought it was sort of bad. So I had never... I mean, as a gay man, I never really slept. I never slept around. I never was really interested in that. I was interested in meeting other people first, and of course, I was interested in meeting the right person for me to develop a family and a relationship and a friendship and devotion. And I think a lot of people think of gay people as being promiscuous and this, that, and the other thing, and. You have this idea that gay parades represent what gay people do, and it's far from the truth. I mean, in the media itself, I mean, they show things like Queer as Folk, which I'm sure you've never seen it, but, you know, I'm glad you haven't seen it. But if you do, it has nothing to do with my gay life, I'll say. And I know a lot of other people. And I know a lot of born-again Christian gays and lesbians who are very devout, much more... born again than I am. I don't consider myself born again, but I consider myself religious, I guess. I don't know if I consider myself religious, but I recognize the importance of God and Christ and in our lives. That's all I really wanted to say. I heard it, and I appreciate your position. At the end, you said, you know, Jesus, you know, loves everybody. It's love is the message, and I'm glad you defended Christianity against people like the Fred Phelps groups that focus on just hating homosexuals and actually being nasty with their use of the word fag, which is a hate-filled word. And there's no good way of using that word. It's just like any other hate-filled word, like nigger or kike or whatever, you know, as well as I do that exists. So, I don't think you're anything like that. I wouldn't confuse you for that. I do have something to say is that there are Christians who take the Bible literally, which is, you know, whatever you want to do. But there's this idea of obedience, right? And I know that there are people who have justified their abuse of gay people physically and leading up to murder on. You know, those passages like your Leviticus, whatever, 20 point, chapter 20, you know the verse. I have it written down here. But I have a problem with that because I don't think that's very Christian. So what's the stop, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying, but I just think it's wrong. That is wrong. I don't know what they were talking about in Leviticus, but I know it has nothing to do with me as my homosexuality. I just know it. So anyway, take care, good podcast, and have a good day. Okay, so this is what I had sent to Steve Webb at the Lifespring podcast in response to his 104, and he played some of it, and he did a response on 105. So for two episodes, 104 to 105, he did a big homosexuality as a subject for his podcast. And I think, for the most part, I think I like Steve Webb, but I would like to respond. I have several versions of the Bible, I mean translations. I'm going to start with the American Standard Version, and I'm going to read the Leviticus passages from each of them, and then I'm going to talk about what I think that they're actually referring to. The two passages are Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Now, here is the American Standard Version, and this is what 18:22 says. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Flatus, sorry about that. In 2013, and if a man lie with mankind as with womankind, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Okay, I'm going to pause while I go to get out the next Bible. Hold on. The next Bible I'm going to read from is the Revised English Bible. And now here's 18:22. You must not lie with a man as with a woman. That is an abomination. And then 20:13 states, if a man has intercourse with a man as with a woman, both commit an abomination. They must be put to death. Their blood be on their own heads. With an exclamation mark. Okay. The next one, let me pause here. Okay, this is the Tanakh, the Jewish Bible. The Jewish Bible, the Holy Scripture. Okay, so Leviticus 18:22 reads, do not lie with a male as one lies with a woman. It is an abhorrence. And 20:13 says, if a man lies with a male as one lies with a woman, the two of them have done an abhorrent thing. They shall be put to death. Their blood guilt is upon them. Pause until I get the next Bible. The next Bible I'm going to read from is the New International Version. And it says, where am I at? 18:22. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. And then 20:13 says, if a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. Their blood will be put on their own heads. Okay, let me pause while I get the next Bible. This next Bible is a sort of oddity. It's not anything that I know of. It was published in the early part of the 20th century, and it is International Series, it's called. It was published by John C. Winston and Company, containing the Old and New Testaments translated out of the original tongues and with former translations diligently compared and revised. So I can't give you, like, it's not like NIV or ASV or whatever. It's like one of these one-off Bibles. Okay, so 18:22 says, where am I here? 18:22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It may be, use the ASV as the basis. Okay. 20:13 says, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And that's in italics, shall be. Okay, next Bible. Okay, this is the next Bible. Is the New Jerusalem Bible. This is one of John's two Bibles that he has. 18:22 says, you will not have intercourse with a man as you would with a woman. This is a hateful thing. And 20:13 says, where is 20:13? Okay, 5. Where's 13? There's like no 13. 20:13. Okay, the man who has intercourse with a man in the same way as with a woman, they have done a hateful thing together. They will be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. Okay, that's the New Jerusalem Bible. And this is another Revised Standard Version. This is John's other Bible. Oh, let's see here. Leviticus 18 point... I should know these by now. 18.22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. And 20.13 reads, if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall be put to death. Their blood is upon them. Okay. And then the Good News Bible, this is the one I got when I was baptized in 82. Oh, actually, I thought I got it baptized in 83. It was in 82. Okay. In 1982, let's see here what does the good book say. 18.22. It says, no man is to have sexual relations with another man. God hates that. And 20.22 says, the Lord said, keep all my laws and commands so that... Hold on. Oh, it's 20.13. If a man has sexual relations with another man, they have done a disgusting thing, and both shall be put to death. They are responsible for their own death. So... that's the worst one of them all, isn't it? So, what is this? Am I condemning myself? Those passages, the passages I just read out of how many different Bibles? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different translations. They're all referring to a specific action. And it's not even what I think. When they say man lying with another man as a woman, they're referring to anal sex, which is not homosexuality. It's a specific occurrence, or if you want to call it that. That's just a specific action. The Bible, especially in these laws, are very specific as to what is wrong. I mean, it says specifically what it is. It goes down to different animals and stuff. So why would that be? Why would there be a general commandment against homosexuality? Okay? So if you have two men lying in a bed together and they touch their hands together and look in each other's eyes, is that homosexuality? Is that the same condemnation? Or let's say they're chest to chest holding each other and kissing each other. Is that homosexuality? What I think they're referring to in these Leviticus passages is specifically anal sex. And as we know with, modern, with AIDS and everything, anal sex, can cause a lot of, that's like the, fastest transmission to getting all these diseases and stuff. So it's the Bible... I don't think it says anything about homosexuality, but it does say, well, Leviticus says nothing about homosexuality. I believe it is referring to a specific act of anal intercourse, which is the abomination. And I read somewhere is that the word abomination in Hebrew is also the word for feces. So I can't confirm that, but that's what I read. So I'd have to look that up. But maybe one of my, listeners is a biblical scholar and can tell me whether the biblical word for abomination or detestable or whatever is also the word for feces, which would make sense, right? If it's about anal sex, right? So anyway, that's what I have to say. And as Steve Webb said in his show, you can listen to his show at LifeSpring Podcast, LifeSpring, I think, .com. I'm sure you can find it if you look up LifeSpring Podcast. There is, though, a LifeSpring cult, so be careful. And then there's a LifeSpring Podcast. And his show, 104 and 105, listen to them, and so you have your own opinion about this. You've been listening to The Flavor Show. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE, or you can reach me at Kenty@theflatishow.com. Thank you for listening.